We fast because it helps us focus on God's voice. So often we think, why isn't God speaking to me? But maybe the better question is, what's blocking the voice of God that I'm not able to hear what he's saying? We have constant distractions that completely surround our lives 24/7 that block our ability to hear the voice of God. We fast not so we can get more of God, although that often happens, but so that God can get more of us. For all that God has given us, we want to give back to our Father God. We fast because it can help you with an answer you've been seeking, as there's a unique sensitivity that comes through prayer and fasting that helps you discern God's will. And this is often what my husband and I will do at the start of the year if we aren't sure what direction God would have us go that year. It can be used when praying for a spiritual breakthrough as well. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20 verses 2 to 3, it says, messengers came and told Jehoshaphat, a vast army from Edom is marching against you from beyond the Dead Sea. Jehoshaphat was terrified by this news and begged the Lord for guidance. He also ordered everyone in Judah to begin fasting. So people from all the towns of Judah came to Jerusalem to seek the Lord's help. And what happened? Well, you can read the rest of the chapter for yourself. But it goes on to tell us that the people didn't even need to fight. They just had to take up their positions, stand still, and watch the Lord's victory. We fast because some types of prayer ministry require prayer and fasting. For example, in Mark, when the disciples couldn't cast out the demon in the possessed boy, Jesus said that some kinds of demons will only come out with prayer and fasting. We fast because we see in both the Old and New Testaments that new seasons of God's favour and work were preceded by fasting. Some examples of this are Moses fasting before he received the law, Jesus fasting before the start of his earthly ministry, and Paul fasting before the start of his missionary ministry. Nehemiah, in getting the walls of Jerusalem rebuilt, asked God for favour in his situation. He fasted for the purpose of showing that his desire and need for God's help was greater than his desire and need for food. I'll say that again, as I think that's really important to get. He fasted for the purpose of showing that his desire and need for God's help was greater than his desire and need for food. And lastly, we fast to humble ourselves and show our total submission and dependence on God's will and purpose in our own lives and in the life of the church. There's many different types of fasting you can do. For example, a day fast, a week fast, the first 21 days of the year, or Lent, which is the 40 days preceding Easter, helping us to remember Jesus' fasting and withdrawal into the desert for his 40 days. If I'm doing a longer fast, like a 21-day fast or a Lenten fast, it usually comprises of two things that I give up. And the first thing is I give up something that I love that may have become a bad habit that I've gotten into that God may want me to break. For example, in some years, an addiction to social media or midnight snacking or binge watching Netflix. And secondly, I give up something that I just love to show God that he's more important to me, or that my dependency on him is more important than my dependency on that thing. For example, sleep, getting up half an hour earlier to pray, or giving up one meal a day. Being brought up a very strict Baptist, It was certainly taboo to have anything to do with what was thought of as Catholic Lent. So I only did my very first fast for Lent 4 years ago. I gave up Facebook, chips, chocolates, lollies, cakes, dessert, and half an hour of sleep. In hindsight, that was a lot for my first 40 days fast, and I wouldn't recommend it. But in those 40 days, God worked an absolute miracle in our family through an amazing number of circumstances. I won't go into it all, but our daughter had become a Christmas and Easter Christian, working as a part-time bartender while she finished her degree at the National Arts School. In those 40 days of fasting and praying, she started going to a home group where they prayed for a job for her, where she'd be able to work days instead of weekend nights so that she could start going to church with them. She didn't just get any job working days. She got a job in the art industry, two train stops from our home, totally unheard of. She started going to church on Sunday nights and became a permanent member of that home group. Was that Lenten fast worth it? Yes, yes, yes. Can I encourage you to spend the final 20 days of prayer by including some manner of fasting? And there's now time for you to spend some time with God and work through the questions on your handout to do with prayer and fasting. Thank you. Today.
Thanks, Carolyn. Well, I was hoping to have Carolyn here to speak that out in person or to do that teaching section, but she was unavailable, unfortunately. But hopefully it's an encouragement to you. And has anyone fasted here before when it comes to our prayer lives? Anyone fasted? A few of us. Good to see. So it is interchangeable with prayer, isn't it? And those passages that was read out to us earlier by Rita, you see Jesus talk about prayer and then fasting straight after it. Anywhere that Jesus talks about fasting, he talks about prayer. Anywhere Jesus talks about prayer, he talks about fasting. They are interchangeable with one another. And the reason for that is exactly how Carolyn pointed out to us. But I still remember the very first time that I felt led to fast. I was 19 years of age. And a big thing for a 19-year-old to do, the fast from food, which I did. But our church was going through a similar thing, through a week of prayer and fasting. So I felt led by God at that age, and I was on a real journey with God at that stage, to fast for a whole 24-hour period of any food. And again, that was a big deal for a 19-year-old who loves his food, let me tell you. But I felt led to depend upon God in the certain situations of life that I found myself in. And I was spending time with him and I was praying and I felt him say to me very strongly, I want you to fast today, Daniel. And so I did. Because when God calls you to do something, we obey, amen? It's better to obey than disobey. We learned that lesson easily from Jonah. If you disobey God, things happen. But I was prompted to fast and so I did. And let me tell you, it did take me deeper in my relationship with God. It took me deeper in my prayer life and my dependency upon God. And that was one of the key things that I want to encourage us with here today, is that when we fast, it brings our level of dependency upon God deeper. Amen? Prayer or fasting deepens our dependency upon God. And we see this in particular in the book of Ezra, for example. The people of Israel in this situation. And Carolyn used an example of Israel again. Here's another instance in the book of Ezra where the people of Israel were previously in captivity at the hands of the Babylonian Empire, and they'd been released and returned and were about to return home to Jerusalem. And just before they headed out on their journey, the prophet Ezra, who was leading them back to Jerusalem, he declared a fast. And this is what he says in Ezra 8, 21 to 23. Have a listen. There by the Ahava Canal, I proclaimed a fast so that we might humble ourselves. Again, there's that emphasis on humbling ourselves before our God and ask him for a safe journey for us and our children with all our possessions. I was ashamed to ask the king for soldiers and horsemen to protect us from enemies on the road because we had told the king, the gracious hand of our God is on everyone who looks to him. But his great anger is against all who forsake him. So we fasted and petitioned our God about this. And what does it finish with saying? And he answered our prayer. That's what God does when we show our dependency upon him and we demonstrate our dependency upon him in this way. And so again, this epitomizes the kind of response that God desires of us on a continual basis. Amen. This dependency, this humility to come before him, the act of fasting shows him that we are serious. Amen. It's not just a nominal thing or something we do as a last resort, or in some cases it might be, but it says to God, I'm so serious about this, God. We need you. I need you in this moment of in our lives. And there's probably no better time than now, I believe, with all of that's going on around us, to demonstrate our dependence upon God. Amen. So what I want to encourage us to do again in this time is to reflect on and to spend some time with God in this moment now, to look at those questions on page 5 and page 6, to spend some time with God. Raphael's going to come and continue to lead us in this time of worship and prayer and adoration. Ask him what he wants you to fast from. For me, unfortunately, it's coffee. It's always coffee because I am somewhat dependent upon coffee. I get up in the morning, I have a coffee to get me through my day. Today will be the last time I'll be having coffee until Good Friday. That's something I've felt led. One of the things I feel led to fast from. Doesn't necessarily need to be food. You may want to include that. Maybe it's lunchtime you fast from. Whatever the case may be, I encourage us to obviously spend some time with him now, reflect on those questions and see what he's saying to you. Because I believe that when we do this, when we show our dependency upon God and the promises of God, it deepens our relationship with him, amen? But I think ultimately in our lives, it also creates a sense of urgency in our lives as well. Urgency for him, urgency for his coming kingdom to come. And so I encourage us in this time now to reflect on those questions, reflect on what God is encouraging you to fast from this day, and then we'll finish with a corporate time of prayer to finish up our service today. So let's spend some time with God and reflecting on those pages, those questions on page 5 and page 6. as we finish up here today, I just encourage you to take this with you, to reflect on those questions. Hopefully you figured out it was on page 6 and 7, not 5 and 6. But I encourage you to reflect on those two key questions in particular on page 7 there, which says, not only what will you be fasting from, but why will you be doing this fast? What's the reason why you feel led by God to do it, if you feel led? Yeah, we want to encourage you to do it, not forcing you to do it. And that's one of the key things that Jesus touches on in the parable of new wine. It's not something that we're forced to do or have to do. It's a voluntary action. But it's up to us and coming before God to ultimately hear from Him as to what He's calling us to do. But why will you be doing this fast? And then finally, who's going to keep you accountable? Because we need accountability these days, amen, in our lives. We need to have accountability in our lives. So I encourage you to reflect on those questions. But we're going to close with a time of corporate prayer. And I do pray that as we fast over the next 20 days, that it does do something in your life, transforms you from the inside out. And my prayer is that God works in each and every one of us, and that we may see God answer some incredible prayers in our lives and the life of our church. But as we come to close our time in prayer here today, this is what 1 Peter 5 says, all of you clothe yourselves with humility towards one another, because God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves therefore under God's mighty hand, that He may lift you up in due time. Then in verse 7 it says, cast all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. I believe there's a lot of anxiety, worries, concerns in the life around us. I was feeling the weight of what's going on in the world on my shoulders yesterday. It can fill us with anxiety. It can cripple us. It can concern us. So what I want us to do in this time now is just lift up our prayers to Him, cast our anxieties on Him, our concerns on Him. Just basically come and close our time together with a time of corporate prayer. Is that okay? So if you want to stand with us, that'd be great. There's a sign of unity if you're able to stand. How about we stand together and let's just close with a time of prayer, a time of corporate prayer. And if you feel led to pray, I'm going to open. If you feel led to pray and just to pray whatever comes into your heart, go for it. But I'm going to lead us in this time of prayer, encourage us to pray, and then I'll close as well. Well, Father, as we've come and worked through this prayer reflection, prayer guide here today, and this service which has been wholeheartedly on prayer, I pray again that it has been an encouragement to each of us here, that we would walk away from here filled with your comfort, with your peace. Hopefully we've heard from you in some ways here today. I pray that's been the case. But Lord God, we just want to continue to lift up our praises to you now. We want to cast our anxieties on you now. We want to come before you in prayer and we want to experience you here today. So Lord, we pray that you would guide us now as we come to this time of prayer. In Jesus' name. Pray out loud as you feel that. Father.